Hi, ladies. I thank you for the opportunity to come into your homes and to shed abroad in your hearts the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you, Father, to meet all of the needs represented by each family here today, Lord. And Father, we just come to you and we ask you, fill my mouth, open ears, and unstop hearts wherever there is blockage, wherever there is a wall put up, Lord God. I ask you, Father, right now to scale the wall, to knock it over. And Father, I ask you to fill my mouth to overflowing with what you have for this message right now. Father, we choose life. We choose your words of life today, Father. We thank you that you are the Word. And Lord, I just ask that you would speak into each and every one of our lives the needed thing. What is needful, Father? And Lord, we know each child that we represent, Father. We know that you know the hearts of those children, Lord. And I ask also that by what I share today, that there will be many hearts unlocked, many hearts set free, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Moms, you are the greatest curriculum your children will ever read. And so when your children leave home someday, will they be truly educated? What will they remember about living in your family? What will they specifically remember about you and your husband? What will they remember about God's faithfulness to them personally and to your family? What will they remember, and what do you want them to never forget? About 10 years ago, I was pregnant, and I didn't know that I was carrying a very sick child. Our fourth child, Nicholas, was born with a genetic syndrome called trisomy 13. And out of that birth and death came the experience of journaling, my personal experiences. I was an artist, and I had not written to any great extent. You can see over the years where there's little bits and pieces of poetry, maybe things written for friends, for special occasions. But as far as keeping track of everyday experiences, that wasn't a part of my makeup. It wasn't a part of something I ever thought to do. I was very busy making special memories for my children. And I've been homeschooling since the minute my oldest daughter was put in my arms, and she's almost 22 right now, and I really believe homeschooling starts the minute that baby is put in our arms. And I know you all know what I mean. And so I, for many, many years, worked so hard to build special traditions and to make every single birthday party special, every single Christmas as special as I could. My children's lives were rich with experience. We didn't necessarily run all over the place, but within our home, there was a great effort to just do what's really fun and creative. And so after Nicholas, a friend had given me a journal, and she said she felt like the Lord, I mean, this was just a gift from the Lord through this friend. She said, the Lord wants you to record his faithfulness to your family. Well, I didn't record a whole lot. I actually did find, as I was preparing for this workshop, it's not often that I look back over the journals that I've kept now for the last 10 years. But I went back to the first one that my friend gave me, and I was really startled because I did not remember that I wrote that. The first entry was on the day that my little son died, Nicholas. And so I didn't journal a whole lot after his death, and I had become pregnant 6 weeks later after carrying him 32 weeks with Anna, and it was just a miracle. So I did begin journaling, actually, about a year later when Anna was born. And then it really stuck. And I began recording just ordinary moments of our day. And over the years, then, as I started reading books on recording your life stories and writing from the heart, and they were written to adults, and here I am, a homeschool mom, and I suddenly realized that, well, wait a minute, they're talking about preserving your children's life stories, and I'm, you know, trying to remember what happened to you as a child, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I'm with these kids all the time. Why are we not recording their life stories as they happen? And so that's how the gift of family writing was born. As I began to investigate and see how this worked with four different age levels and four different types of kids, you know, I had a toddler, I had a middler, I had a preteen, and I had a teen. And family writing worked for all of them. It gave them, if there was anybody who was having a struggle with writing, whether it was my older daughter not understanding that she didn't have to write about the whole day, or whether it was Eric who couldn't, you know, move a pencil across the page without having extreme pain in doing that, you know, whether it was him or whether it was Elizabeth who couldn't write at the time and read or write, or whether it was my toddler. You know what? Family writing and journaling your life stories as they happen, all I would do is take the life story, the narration, right out of Anna's mouth, right out of Elizabeth, and actually out of Eric's until he went really mostly to the keyboard and began writing. And writing is a passion for him. My older daughter, writing's a passion for her. Every single one of these kids has absolutely no hang-ups about knowing that what they think eventually can be on the written page, because, hey, isn't that just what happens when you think and when you write? It's a natural given. It is a gift. It's a gift from the Lord. So as I began exploring family writing myself, the Lord gave me this poem. One day as I was just pondering what it was like for us before family writing, before journaling your life stories as they happen was in my life, I realized that I had no words from my older daughter when she was little. I had very little. You know, I have pictures, tons of pictures, but I don't have the descriptions to go with those pictures. I don't have it from my child's point of view. You know, it's one thing to put together a photo album and you're writing all the captions, but if you really want to see into your child's heart, if you really want to know where they're coming from, if you really want to know what excites them and how to connect with them on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a yearly basis, just sit there and listen to their words of their experience. One of the speakers this week talked about how she would just blank out when her kids would talk. And I talk about that in my book. I mean, I have a whole chapter on transcribing, and I have a chapter on what isn't lost. Storytelling's not a lost art. It's the listening that's a lost art. And so, you know, it cracked me up when I heard her, because I thought, well, I hope everybody gets to listen to what I'm saying, because that's the very last thing. And once you're aware of this, you'll realize you won't be doing it anymore. When your child starts talking to you and rattling off his latest adventure, his latest story, his latest, hey, Mom, you know what? You're not going to zone out anymore. In fact, your ears are going to be pricked, and you're just going to be like, oh, you know, here's one of those life stories. Well, anyway, back to no words. This is the poem that the Lord gave me. I had a family, but I kept no words to describe the way their faces looked, or the way they used to call my name. I try to remember, but it's all so vague. My mind is old and I cannot see beyond the veiled tapestry. The life I know I must have lived beyond recall and ever dim. I ask myself, how can this be? O memory, how you fail me. The word remembrance means to be mindful, to recount and record, to remember, make to be remembered, bring into remembrance. In Exodus, the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. When we keep a book of remembrance, we are able to rehearse to our children what the Lord has done. Malachi 3:16 says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. Keeping a book of remembrance is an act of worship. Ruth Graham, in her book, Footsteps of a Pilgrim, her book is just delightful. If you've never read Footsteps of a Pilgrim, get it from the library. It's worth owning because her poetry in there is so incredible. And she often writes about the naughty little Grahams. Just takes an evangelist's wife right out of the box to read that book. It's a wonderful book. She says, I love the paint of words. They are a phrase, that dance of metaphor, alive upon the page. Bits and pieces, from journals, letters, notebooks, thoughts, prayers, observations, sketches, the poetry of a lifetime, the footsteps of a pilgrim. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie I Remember Mama, but there's a quote at the beginning of that movie where the girl is up in the attic. She's at her typewriter and she's trying to think about what she should write about. And she says, for long as I could remember, the house on the Larkin Street Hill had been home. Papa and Mama had both been born in Norway, but they came to San Francisco because Mama's sisters were here. All of us were born here. Nell's the oldest and the only boy. My sister Christine and the littlest sister Dagmar. But first and foremost, I remember Mama. One theme that I heard very clearly this week is our role as mothers in home education and how important it is that we realize the call that is on our lives to home educate our children. And I couldn't help but thinking as I listened to different speakers, and it would have to include probably just every single one of us, but I was thinking about what is precious in the Lord's sight. And I think that one voice that will overrule and outweigh any other voice in the family will be the voice of the mother. If that voice is not a gentle and quiet voice in the sense of trusting the Lord day in and day out, having a great faith in God's word, having her mind renewed by the word. If her words, they can be spoken as quietly, I'm not talking about volume. I'm talking about a deep abiding trust in the Lord and believing that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If your voice is negative, if it is full of stress and full of tension because you're overloaded, and if it is full of trying to, you know, just even the line of you're behind, you know, you're behind whom, or whatever kind of negative reaction may be to your husband's authority, belittling him in front of the children, all kinds of negativity, that voice can, it'll be like where scripture says, a wise woman builds her house, but a weak one tears it down. You'll be tearing down every single thing that you're trying to accomplish if you let that voice rule. And so I think it's interesting that 1 Peter 3:4 says, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. It's very interesting, but I think a solution for confusion and negativity, and we've heard the solution all week long. We have heard what to do to overcome the enemy, what to do to have our minds transformed. We've been told over and over and over again this week that we must have time alone with the Lord. We must have quiet time. And when I look back over my life as a homeschool mom, before Nicholas, I didn't ever feel that I could connect with the Lord. Just depending on what you've been through in your childhood, depending on what you've been through, what maybe your temperament is or your personality. I mean, the enemy used to tell me that my voice sounded stupid. So it was hard for me to want to pray out loud. But just having this overall kind of emotional makeup, it was very hard for me to feel that I was connecting with the Lord until I started to journal. I journaled my prayers, and I journaled my confusion, and I would ask the Lord what to even read, and He would whisper to me time and time again what to read. And so I want to say that if you're struggling and in confusion, in depression, go to your first husband, go to the Lord, and pour out your prayers and pour out your confusion and write it out to Him in a journal. Pastor David Jeremiah has a wonderful tape called The Joy of Journaling, and you can still get that tape, and I encourage you to get that. It's very inexpensive. He says if you are struggling with depression, struggling with anxiety, fear, confusion, a bad marriage, whatever, journal to the Lord for 30 days. Spend time with Him in His Word, and you will be transformed. The Lord gave me this picture one day of what, actually, I walked out the back door of my home here, and I had my Bible, and it was a summer morning. I remember I sat down in the lawn chair, and I don't usually do this at all, but it just fell open to the concordance in the back. And I just looked down, and my eyes fell upon a word called Ravak. And it's a Hebrew word, and it's actually from the book of Esther, where Mordecai says to Esther, "Who knows, but maybe you have been born for such a time as this." That time, that it was a time of deliverance, but the word Ravak also means a place where you can breathe freely, you can be revived, you can have ample room and be extended and be refreshed. And it means deliverance and liberation from distress. And you know, over the last, it's now, I have 8 years here, that's out of my book, but you know, over the last 10 years, I've found that the pages of my journal have become a place where God revives me. You know, I may not always feel revived the minute I write something down or the minute I pray to Him, but as I look back over what I've written, sometimes a few days later, if I've written something and I read it, I can't even believe I'm the one who wrote it. I'm like, oh, where did that come from, Lord? I was able to pour out what was so bottled up inside of me. I think that the written word, God's written word to us, His love letters to us, you know, He's a God of the word. It's so incredible. Think of it. He's a God of creativity. He didn't have to make it this way. It's just who He is. And so if we are a reflection of Him, the written word will be as important, should be as important in our lives. We're revived and we are refreshed when we remember the hand of the Lord in our lives. And you know what? There is ample room to express what's on our hearts to Him. If you feel that you're not heard, for so many years I felt like nobody could hear me I love to talk too much, I guess. Or no, it really wasn't that. It's that I really liked to tell the whole experience. It wasn't good for me just to say a little bit of what had happened. You know, I really needed to know that the person I was talking to was listening. And think about it, but that's how our children feel every day. They really, really, really want to know that what they're saying to us, we're hearing, that we're really listening to them. Well, you know what? My journal is a place where I know that even though that God will listen to every single audible prayer that I prayed, I know that when I commit those words to paper, that as I go back and look at what I wrote, I know and I can remember that He heard me. Think about this year, about if you've never journaled before, think about making it a priority to begin. And if you're a busy mom with lots of children, you can do this too. I'll get ahead of myself a little bit, but you can keep a journal in the kitchen if you want. You can even make an apron. I am going way ahead here, but I just want to say, you know, you can stick a meat composition book, or a smaller one, maybe a half size, or even those tiny ones. You can stick something right in a pocket of an apron, and as you have thoughts, you jot them down. One of the most freeing things that's talked about is you can have devotions with your children. And so if you have, you know, small children, it really doesn't take very long to, first of all, you want to be modeling this anyway. You want to be doing it anyway. And so quiet time doesn't always mean that you're spending big blocks of time with the Lord alone. But I do encourage you to write down your prayers and write them down on the fly if you have to, because you will have a record and you will be able to see what the Lord has done in years to come. So if you keep a spiritual journal, you can write in it thanksgiving and praise. You can write ponderings and observations, reflections. You can study the Word in depth. And I use a Keynote Study Bible, or a Keyword Study Bible, and it's absolutely wonderful. It underlines certain key words all through Scripture. And because of that, often when I'm reading, and this is just a tremendous tool. This is a great tool for you to get for your children. And let them all take turns on that Bible. If you can't afford a Bible for each one of your children, you know, over the years, we have slowly added to our collection of Keyword Study Bibles so that everybody is in that same version and has that same Bible. Because we have found so much wealth in being able to, you can go right to the back of that Bible and look up a word if it jumps out at you, whether it be just a normal everyday word that you think is so normal. I remember one time, I'm not going to remember where this was, but we were reading in Psalms, I believe, and it talked about the silver cord. And I had a spinal cord injury not too long ago, and we were like, what is that talking about there, the silver cord? Well, we didn't know it meant the spinal cord. It could mean the spinal cord. And so we looked it up, and I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me so directly through the knowledge of what that silver cord meant. And so you will find that words will just pop out at you. Learn how to discern God's voice. As a Christian writer, we have so much more. You know, Psalm 45 says, I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. We have so much more than a secular writer could ever have. All they have is their knowledge to go on. And yet we have God's wisdom. We can hear His voice, which consists of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. God speaks to us in many different ways. He does have a still small voice, but Scripture says his sheep know His voice. And I think the most amazing thing over all these years of searching and seeking and wanting the Lord so much in my life, but not ever feeling like I could connect, writing it down and studying and putting it in that journal allowed me to understand when I do hear His voice. And so you know, God speaks to us in a still small voice. And I love where it says here in 1 Kings, the Lord said, you know, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the earthquake. Elijah wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are, you know, in my other version it says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Well, do you ever wonder what you're doing here? I sure do. I wonder, what on earth are you doing in my life, Lord? I don't understand. What are you doing? And in the pages of your journal and through the Word of God, God will show you where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. I love that the Lord speaks to us. He will hear a voice in our ear telling us, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Have you learned to discern that voice yet? Have you asked in everything that you're going to do this year? Are you asking the Lord? You know, these are things you can write in your journal. God, I don't know what way and what course of study to take this year. These are the kids. These are my children, God. You know, and you formed each one in my womb. You know the gifts and the talents that you have put in each one. But God, this one's only 5 years old. I don't know where we're going because I can't see it yet. Of course I can't, Lord. But God, what way do you want me to go this year? And then praying into each one of those children's lives, praying. And look at what a testimony. When we say, what do they remember? You know, when they're older and you hand them, you know, I think to have a book for each child, to have a book that you compile for each child with your prayers in that book for their lives, what a powerful testimony. Some of your children will get off track. Some of them, the enemy, will come and snatch away. And the Lord will woo them back. The Lord has, you know, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Your prayers will not go unanswered. Your prayers will affect more than sometimes all the cajoling and correction that you could try to level on your children. So when you feel frustrated, to be able to go and to write your frustration out about that situation, I don't encourage you to give that any younger child. I don't encourage you to give them a letter or anything negative in it. But you know, this is something that you can pray and you could save, and it could be there as a testimony to see what the Lord would do, because He will do. He will do what you're asking Him to do in those children's lives. Conviction by the Holy Spirit is another way that the Lord speaks to us. And He will, you'll just feel a pulling back. And, you know, it's like maybe when you're talking about someone and you know maybe you shouldn't be talking about them, and you feel that little nudge and you're like, ah, you know, and you either have a check in your spirit, or you go past that. If you go past that, you've just gone past the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Spirit is when you feel that there's something that you ought to do, and you feel strongly led by the Lord. Learn to discern these different voices. You know, when you are led by the Lord, what you're being led to do will line up with His Word. But it's an urging in a particular direction. As you're praying about choices for your children this year, you know, putting it all together and deciding, you know, what their bents are and what their talents are, if you're getting an urge or a sense in a particular direction, you're being led by the Spirit. And when you're reading the Word, when the Word jumps out to you, that very often is a rhema word, and that word is, I believe it's a Hebrew word. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's Greek. I can't remember. But the rhema word is a word that gives life, a word that just is quickened unto you. And that has a Hebrew meaning. That's not some denominational phenomena. That is a I believe it's a Hebrew word. So, in all of these ways, God is wanting to speak to us. And I've given you a link for Hearing God's Voice. It's an excellent study. This is very strange. You don't come across things like this too much, but it says author unknown. And I laughed and I thought, well, it must be the Lord who wrote this study because, you know, we all need it so badly. I would run that out and read it over. And I think, you know, one of the greatest things that I've prayed for my children is that they would know how to hear the voice of the Lord. And so I plan to go through that Bible study with them. Often we're too busy to cope with everyday struggles and minor irritations to see the connections that God is making with us. He's answering our prayers all the time. But, you know, we're so busy, we don't see it. But, you know what? If you've written it down and you're recording what's going on in your life and you're sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to a still small voice, you're going to start to see the connections. You're going to be amazed at the connections and at how many times He answers your prayers. A daily record of the Bible verses that you're studying, your struggles, your prayers, and the answer to your prayers will be a legacy to your children of your relationship with the living God. This is something you want to pass on to your children. This is, you know how that saying goes, sometimes you're the only Jesus someone will ever see, or you're the only Bible that someone will ever read. You know what, ladies? You are a representation of the Father in your children's lives. That is a heavy, heavy responsibility to carry if we do it in our own strength. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I really believe that journaling will open up and lighten up, and because you are writing the book of remembrance before God. You know, it says they talked with each other and the Lord listened. You know, He's standing at the door. I've been pondering what the door is. Do you know how close and near and dear to us the Lord is right now? He's just on the other side of a veil. He's right here with me right now. He's right there with you right now. He is just on the other side of a veil. We cannot see Him. He is at the door. In May of 2005, I woke up from what was supposed to be a non-invasive procedure in preparation for surgery on a tumor that was near my spine. And I've pondered many times just how incredible it is that I ended up with a benign tumor on my drawing arm, on my nerve that runs into my drawing hand. And that tumor had been there for well over a decade. I had inklings of it and feelings of it when I would nurse my babies, but I didn't know. I just didn't know it was neurological. I didn't know what it was. It didn't bother me enough for me to give it a lot of thought. But as I began to nurse my, you know, last two children, it became more and more of an issue. But we didn't find that tumor until I was in a minor fender bender when Claire was getting her permit. And there was a car coming toward her. She had her turn signal on and she waited and she waited and she waited. And Claire thought that she was going to turn. Well, she ended up coming straight. So as Claire was turning, we got whammed in the side. So I ended up a month later at the chiropractor, and the massage therapist was actually the one who said, you know, maybe you better go get an MRI, because there was always this one little spot that just wouldn't go away. And so I went and got an MRI and found out that I had a tumor just about a half centimeter from my spine, and it was about 2 centimeters big. I was absolutely stunned and frightened beyond all belief, because I immediately went to a Christian neurosurgeon and we talked about the options of surgery and everything. And you know, I was faced with hemorrhaging, paralysis. It was in such a place that, you know, if they messed up at all, that I could be paralyzed from the neck down, basically. It's funny, at the time I had said, you know, I just wish I could get that thing zapped. And I didn't even know what I was talking about. And I had no hope of even knowing what that meant until one day when I was looking on the internet. I had put in, like, Chicago, you know, neurosurgeons in the Chicago area, and up popped this treatment called CyberKnife. And I was like, CyberKnife, what's that? And as I began to investigate it, it was a surgery where they would shoot radiation at the tumor, and I wouldn't have to be cut open. And I thought this was my salvation. I was so thankful to find it. Well, I went for the initial surgery, which was to put little markers in my spine. And after they did that, then they would, you know, then the computer, they line everything up by computer and by your spine. And then they would shoot the tumor with radiation. But they first had to put these little tiny, they say they tap them into your spine. Well, I want to read to you out of my journal what I wrote to the Lord before I went into surgery. This is actually 2 days before my surgery, and this is what I wrote to the Lord. I haven't been writing as much because of my shoulder and hand, but I have to write today. Jesus, my friend and brother, I love thee, and I know thou art mine. I come to you today, 2 days before my surgery, and I ask, Lord, that you be in control of every aspect of my operation. Help me, Father. I place myself in your hands. These circumstances are way beyond my control. I ask you to protect Claire and I on the way down and the way back. I don't know exactly what to do or what I think about all of this, but I ask you, Father, to give my family peace. Life is so short, and you have given me such a great charge. The hearts of 5 people to love and nourish. Oh God, I thank you for delivering me out of the darkness of self-pity, self-focus, selfishness, and the darkness of my heart, the place where all the pain collected. I cannot write of this mighty deliverance in my own words, but only those that have been inspired by your Holy Spirit and were chosen before the foundation of time. I think in some small way I know what the Apostle Paul must have felt when in the midst of extraneous circumstances he put his pen to paper and with his heart he listened to the words that come only from above. My heart is entwined with the God of the universe to write words of life from the heart of a living stone. 1 Peter. Oh, that I had the words of the angels that gather at the foot of thy throne, an everlasting throng of praise, as they murmur, Holy, holy, holy Lord God, Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. My pain is your pain. My tears of heartache are stored in a precious vial of white alabaster with precious jewels throughout. Precious jewels of pain, each jewel upon the nail head, each nail splintering the wood of the cross of Calvary, where my precious Savior took on himself the sins of the world. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, all glory and power and might. Be glorified today, be glorified in the heavens and in the earth, my Savior, my Rock, and my Redeemer. My next entry is May 18th, 2005. Today is the day of my surgery. So many things to think about. I had to fill out a living will form. Filling out that form makes me think about how precious and precarious life is. In some way, I feel I am way too young to have to think about life-threatening circumstances. I have so much of life ahead of me, children to raise and a husband to love. Really, what I'm saying is, protect me, Lord. Put your angels at my head and feet today. Let no harm befall me. I place myself in your care. Keep me. When I was in the hotel bathroom, I asked the Lord what to read. He gave me Isaiah 52. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Break forth into joy, sing together. He has redeemed Jerusalem. He has redeemed me. I am his. I love you, my family, Robert, Claire, Eric, Elizabeth, and Anna. The Lord has redeemed us. May we rejoice and serve him all the days of our lives. I love you all so much. Mom, May 18th, 2005. And then there's an entry on May 21st, 2005. I am not right after the surgery. I just had the markers put in, but I woke up out of the anesthetic with numbness down my right side and in my left foot. I'm not sure what is the matter. This morning I had Robert bring me to the emergency room and they ruled out a blood clot. I had so many feelings when I was lying in that bed. I can barely express how frightening it is. But clinging to you, Lord, is one of those times that I am being carried by you. I do not understand this at all. I do not understand, but I trust you, God, to keep me alive for my family. Heal me, Lord. I am so confused. What happened to me? Please heal me, Father. I am in desperate waters. The floods seek to drown me, but I am yours. Preserve my life, O Lord. Preserve and revive my spirit. What if man that you are mindful of him? You are mindful of me, Father. I am yours. God, I ask that you would give us wisdom to know what to do. I am desperate in my body for healing. I will praise and I will bless thee all the days of my life. And I wanted to read that to you because I wanted to show you that a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his path. And the Lord knows. The Lord is in control. He is sovereign. And when I was talking to you about that quiet and gentle spirit, how do we acquire that quiet and gentle spirit? Is it a work we do ourselves? And I would have to most definitely say no, it is not a work that we can do ourselves, because after all, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. And it's so amazing because, you know, ladies, as I was getting ready to share with you, I had to go back to those journals, and I read shortly after that surgery where I had written something out of 1 Peter 3 about the, you know, gentle and quiet spirit. But I had also gone into chapter 4, and we don't hear a lot about chapter 4 being connected at all with chapter 3, but do you know what the first two verses of chapter 4 say? Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. And so my encouragement to you today is that the pain that you are experiencing worketh a great result, that of a precious, gentle, and quiet spirit. And you may feel that you are nowhere there yet, and you desire that spirit, but you are filled with anger and hatred and bitterness. And I understand that because, ladies, I don't think there's any woman on earth walking who does not have to face those giants at some time or another in her life. And God does know the pain that each one of us carries. Day, if you're listening, I don't know. But when you spoke today about your injury with your hairline fracture in your elbow, I was just tickled because, you know, I have the same injury. I have the same kind of injury. I have an injury that's not visible to your eye. I have a leg that, and a foot, my feet, when I came out of that surgery, when my feet, that non-invasive surgery, when I came out of that surgery and my feet hit the floor, it was like I was walking on, like, rocks. You know, if your feet weren't, my farm kids here, their feet are, the younger ones, they're just, their feet are so calloused over, they can run across rocks, you know, no problem. I put my feet to the floor, and here is the beauty of what the Lord gave me. What if he, you know, he gave me Isaiah 52. He spoke that to my heart. I heard that inside of myself. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to read? And he said, Isaiah 52. Do you know how profound that was in my walk with him? Do you know how that's a mile, literal milestone set up, marker stone set up in my life, a pillar where I can go back to and I can say, the morning of that surgery, the Lord said to me, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who bring good news. My feet were anything but beautiful when I got up out of that bed. When I hobbled to the bathroom, I couldn't even feel the toilet seat underneath me. My spinal cord had been bruised because their tapping in, as it was explained to me, is not a tapping. I came out with bruises on either side of my shoulder, on both of my shoulders. That's not tapping. That's pounding. They pound that little marker into your spine. And I had bulging discs back there, and I had a narrowing of the spinal canal back there, which nobody took into account. And so when they were pounding, they were actually hitting my spinal cord. And God knew, you know, that that was going to happen. And another amazing thing that did happen was when I was wheeled into that room, there was a song on the radio, and I actually just was so taken aback that I was being wheeled into surgery, and there was a radio playing, and I just caught the very tail end of the song, You Gotta Live Like You Were Dying. I knew that song because Claire is a therapeutic writing instructor, and at the barn where she worked at, they would play the country western music there, and so my two older kids became familiar with some of the songs, and one of the artists is Tim McGraw, I believe, and I knew that song, and I mentioned to my male nurse, I said, isn't that Tim McGraw or something? I said, my kids, I've heard that song, you know, and he said, oh, yeah, that's the best song. And then a few minutes later, he said to me, oh, I'm really sorry. That was a really stupid thing to say to someone who's being wheeled into surgery. And yet here again, the Lord had his hand upon me and said, you got to live like you were dying. I want to encourage each one of you ladies that there are things that nobody can see. There are heartaches and scars so deep, but on the surface, nobody can see them. But the Lord does. He does see them. And he wants to heal and resolve those issues. And you know what, ladies? He will heal and resolve them on the pages, on those crisp, clean, white pages of a journal. He will resolve them as you pour your heart out to him. The Lord gave me another poem one day. It's called Upon the White. And it goes, I thank you, Lord, for this new day. To write upon the white, words committed to the lines, broken and contrite. In the morning when all is still, my prayer shall rise to thee. Praises from a longing heart, thy hidden face to see. In the morning when all is still, my words shall then take flight, into your presence upward rise, expectant giving sight. I thank you, Lord, for words of life to write upon the white, words committed to the lines, broken and contrite.